Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast. Your backstage pass to revealing conversations with stars, creators, industry leaders, and influencers on Broadway, off Broadway, and beyond. I'm Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, how to be a theater influencer, or at least how two theater superfans with social media followings became influencers, and what exactly it is that an influencer does anyway. In this conversation, Kristen Hopkins and Ashley Hufford spill the behind-the-reels details, how it works, how many of their tickets are free, how long they spend creating their theater content, and just how much money there is in theater influencing. Spoiler for that last one, not much at all. But there are plenty of other perks, and Hopkins, an entertainment lawyer by day, and Hufford, a video content editor, are both in the virtual studio with me to tell us all about it. Just a note, this conversation was recorded last month, which explains a reference to making plans to see a Broadway show that has since closed. Now, here's Kristen and Ashley. Hello, Kristen and Ashley. Thanks for joining me.
Hey.
Hi, thank you for having us. Excited to be here.
Me too.
So, when you get asked what you do for a living, what do you tell them? Kristen, let's start with you.
What do I tell them?
Yeah.
I say that I'm a lawyer who loves theater.
Okay. Yeah. And then Ashley, what do you say?
I'm not a lawyer, but I do. My day job is I'm a video editor, a content like producer for my day job unrelated to this. And then I also just say I'm a theater person. I love going to the theater. I love seeing theater.
Yeah. And so then what percentage of your time would you say is taken up by your work in the theater and sort of posting about theater and, you know, being influencers about theater?
I would say it depends on the week. I probably see like 4 to 5 shows a month on average. And so, you know, I guess if each show is what, 2.5, 3 hours, 2.5, or say 3 times 5 is 15 hours. And then depending upon, I don't always post about the show. If I feel inclined, if I feel led, I will definitely like make a TikTok or I will definitely post on my Instagram stories. But sometimes posting on TikTok, it depends on how I feel. And if I have very strong feelings about the show, then I will. And that can sometimes take a long time. Yeah. Recording, figuring out what I want to say. I like to go like online and look at the playwright or the creator's intent of the show and like make sure what I feel about it aligns. And if it doesn't, why doesn't it? And sometimes that takes a little bit of extra time. So it can vary depending upon the show that I see.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ashley, what about you?
It is a lot of my time. But I go to the theater almost every night of the week. Like most nights I'm at the theater, which is wild. And I think my parents think I'm nuts. But I don't know. I've built this whole like community around it when it comes to like my friends who I've met like through the apps, even like, well, yes, last night I ran into Kristen at the theater, which is just, and we had never met before and we're both at Hadestown. It was just very funny.
It was like, great.
Yeah, it was amazing. And like tonight I'm seeing a play at BAM, and then Sunday I'm seeing 2 shows. I'm seeing Here We Are at the Shed, and then I'm seeing Public Obscenities at like TFAM. Like very much become like my, like I joke that I'm like, I have a job that like supports my theater habit.
Right. Right. And so, yeah. How did you start doing this? What was the beginnings of this? And then how did it sort of expand from there?
So I've always posted about the shows that I went to, that I go and see. And even before like theater influencing was a thing, I went back on my Instagram stories back to like 2018, 2019. And I was like posting to all my friends, to my like 900 followers who like don't even really live in New York. Like, if you want to come and see this show, if you come during this time, you can get this much off your tickets, and just like just telling, you know, the ether, like nobody ever listening to me about this. And then I will say that I did go on The Bachelor in 2020. So I did get a blue check mark. And so I do think that with the little blue check mark, people started noticing that I was going to the theater more often and tagging shows. And they're like, oh, we can get her to post about these shows. But it was just a natural thing that I was going to be posting about theater regardless of if I went on this show anyways.
Right. Yeah. Where are you from, Kristen? Was theater going a thing that you did when you grew up? Or
it was, yeah. So I grew up in Virginia Beach. My mom is actually on the radio back home in Virginia. And so she gets a lot of press passes to different shows, concerts. And so the place where we got to see all of, the Broadway tours, they would provide her with tickets. And so ever since I was little, I was seeing all the tours. And so I just saw shows all the time. So it was just like a natural thing in our family.
Yeah, got it. And what about for you, Ashley? How did you get started?
Yeah, so I grew up about 45 minutes outside of New York City in the burbs. And theater was always just something that like every birthday, that was just the thing that like my parents knew I liked. So I'd get to go to the shows. And then I went to NYU for undergrad and I started seeing a ton of like student theater, because that's when you could literally go to like Spring Awakening and get like a $20 ticket. And it was like so for like a long time, I was just like, I would see a lot of theater. And then it was during COVID that I started kind of like really, like I'd always posted similar to what you were saying. Like I'd post like, oh, I saw this. Like, and I, in 2017, so pre like all of this, I started like see a show a week every week of 2017. So I like made this goal. I'd post about it. I saw a show every single week. Like, and it didn't have to be Broadway. It could be Broadway, off Broadway, like regional, community. I think my brother's like middle school production of like Peter Pan. Like I counted that one week. Like, yeah, I get, yeah, right. Yeah. And so that's when I started really like seeing a lot of theater. So I think I saw like 56 shows that year. Then the next year I saw like 75 shows. And then I saw 100 shows the year after, and then COVID hit. And during COVID, I was just like everyone, home, bored, doing nothing. And so I just started making videos where the first video that like I did that kind of blew up, and it was for a long time, it was just like for myself. Like it was like, I had like 10 followers on TikTok and I'd make like me talking about theater. And I did a video of me organizing all my playbills because I had like hundreds of playbills. And that was like the first video that kind of like I got, I think it was like 400,000 views, and I gained like 6,000 followers overnight. And I was like, oh, people like theater.
Yeah. And that was actually one of my questions for you, is where are theater goers, on what platforms are theater goers most active? I see most of your stuff on Instagram because that is the thing that I'm most, that I go to most, but I know you're both on TikTok, and like, how do you strategize like where you post and how often you post there?
So for me, I will post like a review of me like talking on TikTok. So I feel like that's just the better platform to like talk about longer things. When I do post on Instagram, like in my stories, or I'll make a reel. If I really like a show on Instagram, I'll make a reel. Like if I really, really like it, the reel is going. But I normally will post in my stories and I will just give like a general kind of a couple of words about the show, how I felt. If I felt really strongly, I will get on my stories in rant. And if you go through some of my highlights, you can see a couple of my rants on a show. But it just depends on how I'm feeling. But if I'm doing like a full review, it's going to go on TikTok.
On TikTok, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about for you, Ashley?
Yeah, TikTok is the main, I mean, I would say theater in general, like, is still very Twitter focused. Like theater Twitter is like very, very, very active. When it comes to my personal content, like I use everything, but TikTok is the main thing. I do a vlog for every show, which I wouldn't say is so much, sometimes a review, but it's more of just like the experience. It's like, I try to keep it, like, I wouldn't call it like a theater criticism. Like, it's like, I'll just do like, join me at the theater. Here's what I'm doing. Like, here's who's in it. Here's what it's about. Like, maybe like, you know, I'm trying to think of anything that I've ever seen. Hadestown, Jordan Fisher, New Orpheus, he's incredible. Like, that kind of stuff, where I try to like bring people sort of in to the experience of going to the theater and talk about the shows, and then and to encourage people to just get more people to the theater. Because like one of the things that I'm passionate about is like people going to see theater and making it accessible, and also being like, I get a lot of people that were like, oh, I didn't think I liked theater, and then I like saw this show. And I'm like, yeah, like there's a show for everybody. And I think that's the thing, people get kind of, they think every musical is like Oklahoma, and you're like, no, there's like so much more, so much.
And it depends on which Oklahoma you're seeing, right?
Exactly. They can be very
different. And I loved both regular Oklahoma and sexy Oklahoma. I was into both.
Right, yeah. And so how does the work of your work as an influencer sort of pick up momentum? Like at one point, did you feel like you started to get noticed by shows or producers or marketers? Like, how does that work? Who are you contacted by to work in partnership with? And like, how, tell me about sort of the specifics of some of that.
Oh yeah, we just started to get some emails into my inbox that I have, you know, my email is on my Instagram. And I would just get emails with like a ticket request, and I'd be like, oh, this is cute, this is fun. And then I would just get more, or they would like DM me on Instagram and be like, hi, like, do you wanna come to this event tonight? Or something like that. And you know, it just kind of like kept rolling and kept growing. And I started to meet more people in the industry. Ayana, who is incredible, the queen of theater, as I like to call her. Yes, she's also a Bachelor fan, which is how I met her. And then she was like, oh, you like Broadway too? And I was like, yes. So we have become like this, and she's great. And then there's another person who has a Bachelor Instagram, but he works at Broadway Crew. And so he's kind of started putting me kind of in the mix. And so it's just been a really, really great experience.
Yeah. And so what about for you, Ashley? How does that?
Yeah, I think the first, it was like through an Instagram DM from a show. Like, I'm trying to remember what show it was, but it was like kind of, it started at first very slow. And I was like, I can't believe I'm being invited to like go to a show. Like, that's so crazy. Like, that's so cool. And then now it's a mix. Like, I used to be so hesitant about reaching out because I was like, what if they're not going to want to give me a ticket? Like, and now when there's something that I really want to see, like, especially if it's like, I won't, something like Hadestown, like, I'm like, they don't need me to go see the show. Like, it's been here for 5 years. It won a Tony. Like, I will buy a million tickets to see Hadestown. But like, when it comes to like a new show or like a new musical, or especially something like out of town, like I went down to DC to see Swept Away, and I just sent them an email and was like, hey, I'm coming to DC. Like, would love to see this musical, would love to promote it. Like, and the nice thing about a lot of these things is because if they're not paid, like there's not like necessarily like a content requirement. So like, and I do, like, I make content about almost every show that I see. And so I was like, I'll make a video. But like, in general, like, if they're inviting me to a show, like, they're hoping that I'll make a video, they're hoping that I'll post. But like, if I see something and I hate it, like, I'm not going to make a video about it, because I'm never going to make, like, I just personally won't make videos about shows that I like absolutely hate, because I don't know. It's not like, I always, my nightmare is like an actor from that show, like, is on TikTok and this sees me being like, and she was terrible. And they're like, oh no, like, I don't know. That just, so in general, like, I try to only talk about things that I like really like or really love on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the offer is often, you know, free tickets or come to this event or something. Is there compensation ever involved? And how does that work? What is it? Is it like different per request? Or just tell me about kind of some of the, you know, the kind of setups that can happen as you're working with shows.
I personally have not been paid outside of being invited to the show or to like a pre-show event or like an event that they were having. So Ashley, if you have any tips on that, please share and share the wealth.
Yeah. So there's kind of a mix, I would say, of like, and I get, I'm not making tons of money from this, but I, sure. You know, so a lot
it's
of
not like your the, day job. Right?
It's not my day job. And I don't think, and if I wanted it to be my day job, I should have done like beauty influencing, like something that is like has more money. But I picked theater, so that's where I'm at.
Right.
I would say the most common is that a show will reach out and be like, can we boost a video that you've already done? So this is a video that I've already posted, already out there, and they'll pay me like $150 to just like boost it. And I, for that, like, I don't even normally negotiate, because I'm like, it's money. It's a video I've already made and already posted. So I'm like, great, I'll take free money. And so that, what I would say, is probably like the most common. But I've also like, this year was the first time that I've ever partnered with a show. So there was a play called The Shark is Broken. It starred Alex Brightman, Colin Donnell. And it was, I really, like, I went to film school. So like, I love Jaws. So I was very excited. Like, they reached out and I was like, this is actually kind of perfect. The play that's about Jaws on Broadway, the actors that I love. And so when it came to that, like, I worked with their like marketing PR team and basically pitched them like what a series of videos would look like when it came to me working the show. And for that, it was mostly just like things I was already going to do. It was like they invited me to when they opened the box office and I got to like talk to a bunch of Jaws fans. And then I went to, they did a screening of Jaws on a roof. And I went to the screening of Jaws, like, and so it was, and then mm-hmm. I went to opening night and I got to make a bunch of stuff like with, it was just, it was very cool. And they paid me, I think it was like a certain amount of money for like a certain amount of videos. So it was like 5 videos okay. a month, whatever, for like 3 months. Okay. And that was very, very cool. Right. And again, it wasn't like a ton of money, but it was like something that like, I'm like, a lot of this is like things I would have not, I don't say I would have done for free because some of it I wouldn't have, but like, yeah. it's like things that I'm already interested in, already excited about, and getting to like work on a Broadway show and get to go to an opening night was like very, very cool for me. And I'm still like, I'm always like, I said, like a geeky theater kid at heart.
I'll have more with Kristen and Ashley right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
And now, here's more of my conversation with theater influencers Kristen Hopkins and Ashley Hufford.
One of the things that I always feel like, you know, it's often, it's true for podcasts as well. They seem so effortless, and yet, similarly, like the kind of posts that you both do, particularly the video posts, like TikTok is just like beyond my brain. Like, but and it takes a lot of time, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's not a thing that you just kind of whip off and you know, put out there. So, tell me about kind of have you. Well, first of all, have you like sped up that process at all, or sort of like how long does a typical post take, and what are the kind of things that you have to adjust or readjust as you're making it?
I think it depends. If I am just doing like a show, like a TikTok of like, come with me to see this show, I will just have like filmed like outside of the theater, the marquee, kind of, the stage itself, the bows. That's simple, easy to put together. And I will, talk about the show like very simply. If I am doing a review, that will take a little bit longer. I feel like most of my reviews on TikTok are probably like 5 minutes plus. Because I have a lot to say sometimes about it. And I like to also like bring up like, oh, I read this interview with the playwright that said X, Y, and Z. And so that can sometimes take a little bit longer to edit, put together. And then if I say something that's like crazy, I'm like, oh, I can't put that out there. So I have to go back and re-record it. And so sometimes it can take a while if I don't have like my thoughts together.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And what about for you, Ashley?
Yeah. So I mean, the vlogs I have to like a science, which is basically like I shoot everything in the TikTok app, which some people think is nuts. I find it really easy for me because you can just kind of like shoot it. Like I have every video starts with a pan of the theater. It starts with a shot of the playbill. I can like arrange it all in there. And then I do a voiceover and I can post it. And then kind of similarly to what you were saying is that I'm doing like a lot of times, sometimes I'll just do ones where they're off the cuff. Like I went to London and I saw Diana, the musical, the concert in London. And I just did like an 8-minute video of me just talking about it. And I didn't like, and then I went through and kind of sort of edited it and also was like, you know what, this is how I'm feeling right now. Cause I was like, just feeling so much joy. And then some of them I had a series for a long time where I would do, there's this children's book called A is for Audra that Johnny Allman worked on. And every page is like a different Broadway diva. And so I did a series where I went through every single page of the book and like talked about each diva in the book. And that was one that like took forever. Cause it was like, I had to find, I'd use all like found footage. I'd go on YouTube. I'd like pull things together. I'd edit like a minute long video and then I'd post it. But I haven't done those in a long time because then COVID ended and I started seeing theater.
I was going to say, that was just a project that you, yes.
Project that I did like when I was lit again, cause I was home for like all of us for months doing like, I had nothing to do.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And you both have day jobs. Tell me how the work you do and your enthusiasm for theater and your fandom for theater, how does that overlap, or does it overlap at all with kind of what you do during the day? How do they fit together for you?
So I'm actually an entertainment lawyer. Yeah. So I am working with reality TV projects all day. So, you know, just working in the entertainment industry, it, you know, feeds over to, you know, Broadway, musicals, theater. Mm-hmm. And my team is actually a very, like, Broadway enthusiastic team. And I feel like somebody in my group will see a show, like, at least once a week. And so we'll have, like, a debrief about it. And kind of just talk about it. We're actually planning a trip to go see a show in 2 weeks to go see How to Dance in Ohio, which I spearheaded. I was like, we're all going to see this show. This is what we're doing. So we're doing that. But I just feel like also it's very interesting because I do have that I'm an entertainment lawyer in my bio on Instagram and on TikTok. So I have had some like actors when I posted that I'm going to see a show, they'll like DM me and be like, hi, like, can you like quickly take a look at this for me? And I'm like, don't you have an agent? Like some people I have, but I'm like, I don't feel comfortable doing this. Like, I'm pretty sure you have people to do this for you. And you're probably trying to like cheat me out on this, and that's not what's gonna happen. It's a very interesting ride for sure.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. And then Ashley, it's sort of, if you're a video editor, it's sort of that must help as you're putting these videos together. Like that seems like an overlap right there.
Yes. I think it's one of those things where I think for a long time, I was like, my day job has nothing to do with like the, and then I was like, actually, like it actually, in a lot of ways, like I work my day job as a video editor. I work in content and I work for a nonprofit called Red, Wine and Blue, which is completely remote and it's based majority in Midwest, like swing purple states. And so I work with, and it's 99% women that work there. And so funny enough, I feel like the majority of women that I work with are also theater people. Cause I feel like the like overlap of like, so we do, and because I'm in New York and most of them are based not in New York, whenever any of them come to New York, they're like, what do we need to see? Or whenever like a tour comes, they're like, should I go see this tour? And I'm like, yeah, go see this. It's good. Whatever. But when it comes to like the actual like day to day, like I'm always like, I'm like, I'm a storyteller. Like that's what I do. And so it kind of all overlaps of like, what I do with my job, what I do online, like my personal stuff, my work stuff, like it all blends together in a very cohesive way.
And what do you think of as your value to a show, to a, you know, a show that you are posting about? Like, how do you think about kind of what your work kind of adds to their profile? Tell me a little bit about how you think about that.
So a lot of my followers and the people that I think that I've influenced to go see shows are corporate people, you know, I went to law school with, people I went to college with, and people who are not necessarily going to see shows. And so whenever they just have like an inkling of like, I think I want to, you know, maybe take a date to this show, what do you think about it? Or I saw this, you know, ad, you know, on the train. What do you think about it? And so I think that I get to expose people who normally wouldn't go see shows, and giving them like a real understanding. So I feel like a lot of my friends come to me and they're like, Kristen, I trust you. Like, what is this show about? And I want the real, like the real, like what you think about it. And I feel like I have swayed a lot of people to go see some shows, just from my, you know, that review. So I feel like I'm able to provide just kind of like a real, understanding of a show and just, you know, help people go and support them, you know, keep these shows, you know, keep these shows, you know, open and going.
Yeah. What about for you, Ash?
Yeah, I think similarly, like I have a lot of younger people that follow me, a lot of college kids, a lot of some high school kids. And I think a lot of it is like, they feel like theater is not accessible to them. And one thing that I really try to do is like highlight how many under 30 programs there are in the city, how many programs that are made for students. Like, and a lot of these programs are out there, they're like on a website, but they're not like being promoted necessarily. And so what I really try to do is to be like, here's how you as like anyone can go see a show for like a somewhat reasonable rate. Or like, here's like different apps that exist. Here's different like websites that exist, different programs that exist. And it's really cool because I'll meet a lot of people. Like, even so last night at Hadestown, someone came up to me and was like, I came to see this because I know how much you love the show and you always post about it. And I was like, thanks. And it's always like, it's still surreal. Like, when I'm like, I'm just like, it makes me really happy that like people will see something and be like, I'm going to the theater because of you, something you said. Even when it comes to like my cousins who live in Nyack, like reached out and they're like, we're doing a staycation. Like, we want to see three shows. And then they like every day they like sent me a selfie of like them at the theater. And I was like, this is great. Like, this makes me so happy. Like, and so I think just getting, it's a symbiotic relationship of like getting people to see shows and getting shows to like be accessible to let people come see them. And it's hard because I think when you are looking at a website for a show, like, it does, all the tickets look unreasonable. Like, it just, you go to the website, you're like, every ticket here is over $100. And you're like, yes, but actually there are a lot of ways that you can get them for under that. And I get why, like, we need the corporate people to come to the theater and pay the premium tickets so that the students can go to the theater and pay $25. And that's, they're both needed.
Do either of you have a sort of metric by which you judge this post was successful or this post is like really resonated with my followers? Like, how do you measure whether something is really connecting with people out there?
Comments or DMs from people. If it's on Instagram, people, you know, will DM me and be like, yeah, I felt this way, or I don't feel that way. Can you tell me more about why you think this? Sometimes comments on Instagram, on TikTok, excuse me, can just be a little excessive. Like, I feel like on TikTok, people feel that they can just say whatever they want and the first thought that comes, you know, to their brains. So like, I will sometimes take TikTok comments with a grain of salt. So I'm just like, you just like quickly put that in and you scrolled on to the next, you know, the next thing that you saw. So yeah, I look at the engagement and kind of just see, you know, who's commenting, who's posting. And if it's, you know, shared, you know, beyond, you know, just my page, if other people are posting it and sharing it on their pages, I consider that to be something successful.
Right. And what about for you, Ashley?
Yeah, I think I used to get kind of caught up in like the views of it all. And then I realized that like, we're all just kind of like at the mercy of an algorithm that like none of us will ever understand. And so I think that like comments are, and DMs are much more of a metric. Cause I feel like that's where you're really getting people being like, oh, thank you for this. Or like, oh, I was wondering your opinion, or like, asking follow-up questions. Like, and that I think is when you're like, oh, this is a piece of content people really like because they're really interested in knowing more or like wanting to do it themselves. And if you don't get a ton of views on it, it's like, you know what, it is what it is. But like, I'm glad that like a couple people like found this interesting and exciting and it helped them.
Have either of you done anything to cultivate a fan, to fans or followers, to sort of boost followers? Or is there anything that you are even able to do to try to kind of you know, at get those numbers up?
I haven't. I just post what I want to post and people enjoy it. They enjoy it. And if they don't, then they don't need to be on my page.
Yeah. I've been playing around a little bit with the Instagram algorithm and not like any kind of like, but in terms of like, I've just been watching a lot of reels that have been popping off. And so I've been kind of trying like, so right now, like the big thing on Instagram, you know, pro tip, everybody, are these 4 second, like, reels that just like recycle. Like, so it's like things that like, I posted like a 4 second clip of me. I one of the things that I'll do for tickets is a lot of theaters have ushering programs where you volunteer to usher, you come an hour before, you usher, and you get to see the show for free. And so I posted like a 4 second clip of me like stuffing a playbill. And then you add like a trending sound under it. And I wrote a whole bunch of text on it that's about ushering. And then like that video like blew up. Like, and it has like 800,000 followers, 800,000 views, not followers, 800,000 views. I don't, for whatever reason, like right now, that's just like how Instagram, the algorithm seems to be working, is that they really value like people rewatching things. And if you put a bunch of text on it, they have to like rewatch it like 4 or 5 times to like, but like that video, I think gained me like 1,000 followers on Instagram. Like,
interesting.
And so it's like, it's more, but like, again, like next week they're going to change it where like now you have to post like a 10-minute video to like, so it, but like that's been kind of, and it's more just for fun. Like, I'm like, if I gain followers, great. If I don't, I'm still posting content that like feels authentic to me and the things I care about. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And for instance, you both ended up at Hadestown last night, you were saying. What brought you there? Was that just fandom in general, or how did that happen?
So this will be my third time seeing Hadestown. I saw it when it first came out. And when I saw it, I was like, this is a good show. It's not a show for me, but I know that there are people who are going to enjoy this. And I had just never planned on going to see it again. But then they have four Black leads. And something that's important to me is representation in theaters. So I was like, oh, well, obviously I have to go. And I was actually invited to go and see it in January. And I was completely blown away. I just felt a whole different connection to the show that I didn't feel the first time I saw it. And I was just like obsessed. I was like, I need more of this. And I had a friend who wanted, she was like, well, I haven't, you know, gone to, you know, seen the show since it came out. So I was like, we're going back to see it. And I'm still obsessed over this show and this new cast. So that's why I went back and saw it for the third time.
See, you're about to not feel embarrassed though, because I went to Hayes Hall Night for the 35th time. Because Whoa. It is the show. It is my show. Like that. Like when you said there's someone, like it is me. Like that. I saw it off Broadway in 2017, 2016. Yeah. I've been following the show like since off Broadway, and then obviously when it came back, when it opened on Broadway, and then just my friends and I have a whole group of like Hadestown girlies. So we have like a group chat. We like. So this was my third time seeing this current cast, and I'm going to London for a theater trip. Like in 2 weeks. And so I'm going, I just bought a ticket to go again next week because I want to see them one more time before, because Betty and Soleil are leaving February 4th. And I was like, it's supposed to be the last time I see them. And I was like, no, I'd see them again. So I'm taking my brother I try to go. Like last night I took my friend JT who had never seen it. I'm going with my brother this week because it's Broadway 2-for-1 right now. So it's like, you can buy one, get one free. Right. So I like take my brother. It's an obsession, but I love you.
So it seems like because the you can kind of imagine that like, oh, theater influencers, they just get free tickets all over left and right. And you do get free tickets, but it sounds like you are paying for as many tickets or more as the ones that you are getting free. Is that right?
I would say, yeah, I think it's about probably equal. Mm. I definitely will pay for most shows. And like Ashley mentioned, I'm still in the region where I can get the tickets for, you know, $25 because I'm 30, so I can still apply for those programs. And so whenever I do have the opportunity, I will use those programs. And, you know, my job also offers programs as well to get, you know, some seats for like a discounted rate. So I do try to support shows and, you know, mm-hmm. with my coin. I feel like that's so important as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely agree in terms of like, I feel like as much as obviously I love seeing shows for free, and there are some shows like that maybe I saw it off Broadway and then I'm like, oh, I wouldn't pay to see it on Broadway, but I got invited. So I'll like go and see it because I got invited. But in general, I tracked it all last year because I was curious. I didn't track how much I spent because I did not want to know, but yeah, I just tracked how I got the ticket. And so I saw 224 shows in 2023. Wow. And I think of that, 60% were like given to me, which was like very, like I was invited to. So it was like close to a little over, which makes sense in terms of like, cause I'll go to a lot of like theater festivals, right? So like theater festivals, you're seeing like 3-4 shows in a day. And so I might've been like invited to like go see 3 shows. Like, so I think it does track in terms of like, and a lot of the off-Broadway and off-Broadway shows I'll get invited to now. And so that kind of adds in. For Broadway, I would say it's probably about, I probably pay for slightly more than I get invited to. Although this season, I feel like I've been having a very nice problem where I keep buying a ticket and then getting invited like 2 days later. Like I bought a ticket to Spamalot and then immediately got invited. And I was like, okay, well, we're doing it.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of theater going, it is the spring. What are you both most looking forward to coming up this spring?
Oh my goodness. There are so many shows this season, and I feel like they keep announcing more and more every single day. But I will say I'm very excited for The Notebook because Joy Woods. I'm obsessed with her. Like I am obsessed with that woman in every way, shape, or form. So The Notebook, oh my God, what else is coming? Gatsby is coming.
The Great Gatsby is coming.
Oh my goodness, they're so different. Oh my goodness.
Is Gatsby the other one? Yeah, you're right.
The Great Gatsby is coming. I didn't see the paper mill, but I'm excited to see kind of what they change, anything that may have been, you know, updated and moved around. my God, what else is coming? Ashley, help me.
There's so many things. Oh, so much. There's Limpika, there's Subs,
yes.
Water for Elephants.
Grant Gustin. I want to see Grant Gustin. I love Grant Gustin. So yes, Water for Elephants. There's a lot. I'm very excited. Yeah, I just want to see all of them.
April, it's like one opening every single day. Like it's
a lot.
The Wiz. Lot. Oh my God. Wiz. How did I forget The Wiz? Obviously, that's like priority number one. So yeah, it's a long list.
It's a long list. Yeah. You too, Ashley?
I saw The Notebook in Chicago like 2 summers ago, and I was I went because I'm obsessed with Joy Woods. Love Joy Woods. She's so good. Ryan Vasquez, so good. Like I'm an Ingrid Michaelson fan. Like I grew up, mm-hmm. I was in high school, I was obsessed with Ingrid Michaelson. So that was the main reason I went. And then I've been like waiting for this to come to Broadway. So I'm so excited for The Notebook. I'm also really, really excited for Limpika, which is the new Rachel Chavkin musical that's gonna be directly across the street from Hadestown on 48th with Eden Espinosa, who I've been a huge fan of since I saw Brooklyn when I was like 12 and it was like changed my life. So I've always loved Eden. And they did an event at Sotheby's to announce the cast this week, which was like very cool. Right. So I'm very excited for Limpika. The Wiz, I've always loved The Wiz. I've never seen a staged production of it. So mm-hmm. I can't wait. And then this is not Broadway, but there's so much in London right now that I'm so excited to see. I try to go to London like twice to three times a year now. It used to be once a year. Then last year was twice. And now this year is three times. So it's just becoming a thing.
And is that something you get invited to do, or that's your own enthusiasm, and then occasionally you are able to?
So I pay for my flights, and I'm very lucky because now I have, like, through theater stuff, I have a whole group of, like, very close London theater people that I met through, like, TikTok and Instagram. And, you know, like, it's funny because my friends are coming from London to visit the week before I fly to London. So, like, they're coming here, and then I immediately fly there. So I stay with them for free, which is very nice. And then a lot of times I'll reach out. So like, and shows in London just in general are so much cheaper, like right. so much cheaper. So it's like what I spend for like 4 or 5 shows in London is what like one ticket to Cabaret in New York is, which is like it's right now. It's if you want to see Cabaret on Broadway, like it's going to be amazing. But also you could probably fly to London and see it from the second row in London for cheaper than you're going to see it on Broadway. Like, right. Yeah. Right. So that's just
a tip.
Go see Cabaret on Broadway. It's gonna be great.
Well, I will look forward to seeing all your posts that come out of all the shows you see this spring. Thank you both for being with me. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you for having us. This was so fun.
Yeah, I always want to talk about theater, so this is the greatest.
That was Kristen Hopkins and Ashley Hufford. Find out where to follow them on TikTok and Instagram in the episode notes. If you enjoyed this conversation here on Stagecraft, I'd really appreciate it if you took the time to rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. It really does help. Or tell a friend about Stagecraft. Find past episodes and subscribe at all the places you get your pods, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on the Broadway Podcast Network, which is a great place to find more theater for your ears. Until next episode, find me on Instagram and what used to be Twitter at Gordon B. Cox. You can also check out my newsletter about international theater. It's called Jaques, and it's at gordoncox.substack.com. Thanks for listening, and see you at the theater.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SufsMusical.com.